our moral, our narrative, our goal, our platform. Salam Media, our humanity.
The program is called News and Views. We travel all the way back again to the holy city of Makkah al-Mukarramah, and with us is Brother Yazid Kamaldeen, South African journalist and photographer, is also performing Hajj this year, inshallah. As we get some of his experiences and observations whilst he's on this very powerful and strong spiritual journey. Let's welcome him to the program. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Brother Yazid.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah khairan so much for your time. And I don't know how differently you experience the Hajj as an ordinary person that is there for Hajj, because you are a journalist and you are a photographer and you have an extra eye to look around and so forth. How has it been right up to now whilst you in the city of Makkah or in Aziziyah, wherever you are based?
Well, it's amazing. It's really amazing, you know. The experience of Hajj is, there's so many lessons. I'm not talking about sort of, you know, these big life lessons kind of things. I'm just talking even about the little things. You know, even in the little conversations you have with people from around the world, you know, all of this just gives you a different or better perspective of your religion, you know, and of Islam. Because, you know, we come from our own cities, wherever we come from, and we all have our own, you know, our own sort of, like, if I can say, ideas of our religion. But when you come here, you just meet so many different people, and it feels great. It feels really great.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. And in the preparation for the Hajj, what do you think, you know, in your assessment, is the most important aspect of the preparation? Because one obviously knows that there are times where you're going to be left on one-on-one, or you are going to be with Allah one-on-one in that conversation and so forth. Do you think a lot of emphasis should be placed on the ability of how to converse with Allah, you know, how to make dua and so forth?
You know, the thing is, I mean, I was in Medina when I started, you know, in Medina, alhamdulillah, well, arrived in Jeddah and then into Medina. And I was feeling then already, you know, that even though you are surrounded by so many, many people, there are these moments when you feel very alone, you know? You just feel like, and I was thinking that comes, you know, with introspection, you know? Because you're spending time just sort of like reflecting on your life, you're reflecting on so many things, because remember, now you are removed from your daily routine, and now you're in a situation where you have to be thinking about, you know, istighfar, you know, tawbah, asking forgiveness of Allah as well, and you begin to really feel alone in those moments, you know, because now yes, there are all these things going on around you, but you're so involved with introspection. And sometimes you even feel a little bit sad in that loneliness. You know, I don't know if other people experience this, but you just feel like, yeah, you know, this is real. I'm here, and this is my personal journey. This isn't a holiday where I'm coming, you know, to like go to the beach every day or, you know, those kind of things. And then also when you perform your Umrah, you know, when you perform Umrah, when you go to Makkah, when you're running, or first walking, of course, and part of it is a bit of running between Safa and Marwa, you know, as you are concluding your Umrah. The feeling that you get there is one of, imagine how amazing it was for Hajj, you know, with a child running in the desert. You know, I mean, it gets 40 plus degrees here, you know, running in that heat, feeling so alone, you know, and then in that moment you really call on Allah and you say, like, you know, Allah, you know, we need you more than anything. So, yeah, these are just some of the reflections that I've had now, you know, that I can share on my experience so far. And really, it's about strengthening your belief in Allah, of course, and about strengthening your relationship with Allah. And it's a wonderful experience. After the Umrah, with all the challenges that you've had, you know, with the crowds, also telling yourself, okay, be patient, you know, don't get angry at someone, don't say anything rude to anyone, you know. You just kind of like after that experience, you just feel like, okay, wow, that was good, you know.
Mm.
That's my reflection.
Yes. And yes, it in terms of some of the wonderful lessons of Hajj, you know, where when you're going to be traveling to Mina already in the times of the Umrah. But of course, in a time when you're going to Mina, you know, the game completely changes with every single one performing Hajj, same direction, you know, all of them, playing fields being leveled and genuinely being leveled. You know, I had a very wonderful elderly uncle, Farooq Sukwatla, who was late now, may Allah Ta'ala grant him genital firdos. And he spoke about being a group of five people, but only when they were sitting, you know, in Arafah or in Mina, in Arafah, did he say, where he then realized from the five people, one of those people in that five was the second most best neurosurgeon in the world, working in some major hospital in Germany, but from Ghana. But the man never gave off one moment of who he is. But it's just like when they sat down and said, all right, where from? What are you doing in life? And like that, when they went around there, then he realized, wow, look at this, who I'm sitting with, you know. So he never knew. And if they didn't sit and discuss, he would never knew. And probably traveled right through until the end of the Hajj with this man, not realizing it's such an extremely highly qualified person walking around with him, you know. That's the one aspect, the level of the playing fields, you know. And the second aspect, also going back to Hajra radiallahu ta'ala anha and the running and so forth, you know, where sometimes you when you're in there, you cross this thing, what is the discussion or the issue about gender equality when Allah Ta'ala, in His infinite mercy, has given such a great honor that every single person until the day of Qiyamah will carry out the ritual Safa Marwa that was done by a woman? You know, so what's the debate about? You know, what is it about? I mean, this is from the highest order and law where this woman, this is where we are, you know, doing and emulating what a lady has done, her action. You know, besides everything else that goes along in Hajj itself. You know, it crossed my mind once or twice. I don't know, Yazid, how do you look at this? There's two aspects of Ihram, leveling of the playing fields as a lesson in Hajj, and also the issue of Safa Marwa that you already mentioned, but just extending it a little further.
You know, we are not networking here, you know. We are connecting. So, for example, I'm not coming to one of my journalism functions where I'm asking people for their business cards, and now looking at how we can do work together or how they can give me the next big scoop or something, you know.
Mm.
It's very much about connecting, you know. One of the first, this is the beauty of Islam, you know. Everybody who's been on Hajj Umrah will know there are people from everywhere here, right? And we all open, the door to opening a conversation or interaction is always Assalamu Alaikum, the universal greeting of Islam, right? That's how you start your conversation with, like, literally anybody. There's, like, every skin tone, every race, every nationality, every language, it's here, you know. And then, Assalamu alaikum is the way that you start. And like I said, we're not networking, we are connecting. So people feel a genuine, like, desire or a feeling of wanting, you know, they genuinely connect with another pilgrim, you know. In the sense that we're greeting each other, even if it's like a moment, you know, greeting each other, Assalamu alaikum, okay, what language, what country, you know, it's very basic English sometimes also that you're speaking. And you're not asking them, so how much money do you earn? You're not asking them, what job do you do, what car do you have, all this nonsense, you know. It's really just about us coming together as Muslims, as one Ummah, and then reflecting in our personal capacities, of course, on our relationship with Allah. And then the other thing is, you know, this the sa'i between Safa and Marwa. Wow. A feeling of dependence and need on Allah. I literally was doing my sa'i and I was thinking, imagine this is just a desert and there's nothing here and you are needing Allah so badly because you don't know what's going to happen. You feel like the world is going to end. There's nothing there. You need food, you know. I mean, this desert is isolated. I mean, when you drive between cities, you see just how you understand how empty the place is because there's a the road between Makkah and Medina, and then of course between Jeddah and Medina, you know, these roads are just empty. So you can imagine being in that desert where you've got nothing, and then just all you need to do is just make dua. And you learn, you know, this feeling of sabr in that. If you put your mind in that space, you learn the feeling of you must have sabr. And I think that's probably the biggest lesson for me of Hajj, this feeling of sabr, you know, because we don't have an inclination toward it necessarily in the world that we live in, because everything is quick, everything is instant. We have to do things now. So I just hope, you know, and make dua that the lessons that I learn here are hopefully, you know, practices and things that I can implement in my life when I go back home.
Mm.
And, you know, also on journals, you're always on deadline. So it's a crazy, crazy life sometimes, you know.
Mm. And first Hajj that you're performing, Yazid, have you done before?
I have been on Hajj before. I was with my family, though. You know, my mother, my father, and my brother. So this is very different for me, you know. When you're with your family, to be honest, you are still able to do, you know, all your ibadah and so on. But I do also feel that when you are traveling with your parents, you know, it's just different. It's just different. You're traveling alone, and you know, you're not sort of like there as someone, as part of a family unit. Different.
So finally, Yazid, as we're approaching the days, less than 48 hours now before the Hajjaj will be traveling Saturday morning, inshallah, Aziz. And a very difficult question in many respects, I found people, you know, in order for them to respond or answer to it, you know, in a list of priorities, you know, types of du'as that the Ummah should be engaging. I mean, everyone has his own little list. But you have to now think about maybe significantly one or two important where you will say this threat should maybe run across the mind of every Muslim. I'm not saying this should make this dua. I can't prescribe to him. But what do you think that dua would be, Yazid?
Well, firstly, I just want to say that, you know, I make dua for everything. I just pour my heart out. I'm like, this is my chance. This is my, like, you know, moment here where I'm speaking to Allah at the Kaaba, for example, you know, or now I'm going to go, inshallah, to Arafat, you know, and obviously you just pour your heart out. It's just like, you know, Allah, I need you, like, I have nothing without you, please help me, you know, guide me, you know, like, and obviously Arafat is about istighfar as well, asking Allah for forgiveness, so that's probably one of the big things. We sin all the time. Minor, major, intentionally, unintentionally. We are not perfect. You know, we accept that we're not perfect, and we know that we're striving to do our best every day. So I think that's the big dua, to ask Allah to forgive you on Arafat, and also for guidance. I think that's very important, because we, you know, things just happen to you, like, and, you know, you just hope and pray that everything goes okay for you on your journey, whether it's you're in Hajj, whether it's, you know, in another journey or so on. And you just ask guidance in everything that you do, because it's also so easy, I think, to just do something without thinking, okay, you know, I need to do it like this or this or this. And we need guidance. We really need guidance.
Mm. And finally, Yazid, as far as this connection that takes place, you know, I know one's going to see very, very emotional scenes at the in Arafah and so forth. And because of one's hopelessness in front of Allah Ta'ala, but still the hope that Allah can do so much for us, many people break down, you know, and there's a lot of crying that takes place in perhaps in the confession of the sins and whatever, and the istighfar that takes place. You know, I don't know now. Are you someone? I know I'm digging deep into your inner recesses now. Are you someone that can cry easily in front of Allah, Yazid?
Look, when I was making the like a sigh for me was already a big thing. Okay, I mean, yes, I was crying inside because I felt that I needed Allah. You know, I put myself in a state of like, I acknowledge what I'm reenacting. I acknowledge what I'm doing. I'm not going for a walk in the park here. You know, I'm reenacting the moment when you are so alone in a desert. You know, I mean, if you know the story, it helps also because if you know what you're doing and why you're doing it, I think these things help put you in the right frame of mind as well, you know. And, yeah, then I really felt like, you know, wow. You know, you make reputations, like, you know, you lie, lie, la, la, or you, you know, like also when you go around doing the tawaf, you say, yeah, different things, of course, that you say, you remember Allah in different ways. And all of that is about strengthening your bond with Allah and also just acknowledging you need Allah. It's that simple. You need Allah, you know? And that feeling of being so much in need of your Creator, that can bring tears to your eyes because it's a feeling of firstly acknowledging your own weaknesses and just acknowledging, like, I can't do this alone, you know? And that realization is great, man. Like, after that, you actually feel, okay, I know the deal. I know what's up now, you know? You just have such clarity, I think, after that.
Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala allow for you and the rest of the Hujjaj, Hajj Mabrur, Hajj Maqbool, a safe Hajj, inshallah. We continue chatting to you, and hopefully you can allow us some time also during the course of your journey to chat to you, Brother Yazid. Shukran jazilan for being with us this morning. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. 2 minutes to 10, Central African time. Yazid Kamel Deen, he's a journalist and a photographer, and he speaks to us live this morning from Makkah al-Mukarramah in his preparation for Hajj. Alhamdulillah, he is touched by what exactly is happening and taking place out there. And of course, he talks about a sa'i, and Allah Ta'ala make it easy, inshallah. Yeah, I'm sorry.